Elise Stefanik, we just read a very troubling story in the New York Times. And I know this is a tough one for you because Dannemora and Clinton are in the prisons where the Great Escape happened, are in your district. But we just read that some of the prisoners are complaining that they were roughed up, that they were taken into, you know, rooms and beaten up, that they were tortured. And I wondered whether you have anything to say about this.
Oh, I read the article this morning as well, Alan, and I'm deeply concerned about the article, and I'm concerned about much of the news that's come out since the prison break in Dannemora, both in terms of the management of the prison, some of the politicization of the requirements of corrections officers. But I'm concerned to read that article in the New York Times. I think that there needs to be an investigation at the state level, the state institution, and I think that you're going to be hearing from certainly my partner, Senator Betty Little, the Assemblywoman Dupree, Dannemora is in both of their districts, and they should be leading that effort at the state level.
You know, is this symptomatic of, I mean, prisoners, after all, committed crimes. They're regarded as people who have to be locked up. And yet, there are those people who think, is there a limit on how they can be treated? We know waterboarding happened in Guantanamo. Is there something that should be done to set a bottom line in terms of treatment?
Well, we do have a bottom line in terms of treatment. It's about making sure that that bottom line is enforced. And I think that's where you're seeing, as the story continues to come out about what happened at Dannemora, you're seeing both that bottom line not being enforced, but also the security of the prison not being enforced as well. So, the corrections officers and not having the ability and the flexibility to do the, for example, nighttime prison checks with flashlights, that was an issue, or allowing prisoners to have sheets on the cell block to block what's happening from the corrections officers into the cell. So there are a lot of concerns. I think that's why there needs to be a top-to-bottom investigation, not just of Dannemora, but also of the other prisons in New York State.
We're talking to Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Elise, I wanted to ask you about Speaker Boehner's fundraiser for you. Is he popular in the district?
I'm excited that he came up to support me. He has done so in the past. This district obviously voted overwhelmingly for my vision and what I want to do in Washington. And I think the constituents appreciate that he is supportive and understands that this is an independent-minded district. I'm a big tent Republican, and I've gotten support from Republicans, independents, and Democrats, and conservatives, and I'm proud to have that big tent support.
So how are you being treated in Congress? We're all concerned about that. We hear tales of sexism in the past. Is that veil being lifted in Congress, or is it still a problem?
I think that veil is definitely being lifted. This is the first year we have over 100 women serving in Congress. What's pretty interesting is that in the history of this country, 10,000 individuals have served in Congress, and only 300 in our entire history have been women. Mm-hmm. So as the more women we elect to Congress, I think that's going to change over time. I'm treated very well. I know the last time we spoke, Alan, I talked about the first month, some of the Capitol Police didn't recognize me as a member of Congress. And thank goodness I have my congressional pin. They recognize me now. They're very friendly. And now it's a running joke. But in terms of my colleagues, I've been warmly welcomed. I have done what I've done throughout my life, working at my family's business, different professional opportunities I've had. I really try to learn the issues and dig into the policy areas that my constituents care about. And that has, I think, built respect from my colleagues in Congress as they've seen how my office is extremely hardworking. We're leading on issues. We're proposing common sense legislation. But I get treated very well, and I have lots of great friends. Many of them are my fellow freshmen who, you learn lessons together as you're starting up your offices, and it's just been great.
You know, we hear tale after tale in the past, not so much now, about interns and the treatment and young women. Do you have to keep an eye out for them to make sure that they're being treated right?
You do. You know, earlier this year, there was a National Journal piece that talked about, there was an anonymous survey of staffers, so not interns, but actual Capitol Hill staffers, And, you know, women felt like they weren't being promoted because they didn't have sometimes the opportunity to do one-on-one briefings with, let's say, their male member of Congress, because there was a perception that people would judge that from the outside. And there was never a doubt that people wanted to think there was any wrongdoing. And I think that hurts women's ability to be promoted. Certainly that's not how I run my operation. I have great staffers who are both men and women. We you know, pride ourselves on making sure that there's equal opportunity for advancement in my office. And, of course, I keep an eye out for it. But I try to lead by example in my office.
So one of the questions I have for you is, you're a woman who has done extremely well. You're carrying the flag for the Republicans in your district. And yet, you take a look at the presidential race, and you only see one woman involved in these debates and all of this. What do you make of that?
I think it's great that Carly Fiorina is a part of the Republican field. Obviously, she was the outstanding candidate in that second-tier debate, and you've seen her poll numbers continue to increase. I've had the opportunity to meet Carly on a number of occasions. I heard her speak at an event in New York City recently with other members of the New York delegation, and she just did a tremendous job. I think she brings an outside perspective. Given her role as CEO of HP, she obviously ran in a very blue state in California and did not win that Senate race. But I think it's important to have her in the field, and I think she's working hard and doing a great job, as have many of the other candidates. We have a diverse field. If you think of Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Rand Paul, Ben Carson, it's extremely diverse with different backgrounds and different visions, and I think that's a benefit.
Do you ever think in the back of your mind that someday you'd like to run for that office?
No, I'm 31 years old. I'm excited to be in Congress and am working very hard representing this district. I give everybody credit who has the courage to step into the arena at that level. But I think that I want to be very effective in helping bring a new generation of leadership to a fairly, an institution that the average age of their member is 30 years older than me. So I think that they need a breath of fresh air, and that's what I've been trying to do.
Okay. We only have a minute, but I know you've been working hard on cross-border trade with the Canadians, and I know your predecessor did too. Seeing any progress?
Absolutely. We're continuing to work with our Canadian counterparts. I was up in Plattsburgh last week and toured a number of manufacturers and Canadian businesses who have opened up manufacturing sites in Plattsburgh. One out of five people in Clinton County, which is one of the more populated counties in my district, go to work every day for a Canadian business. I think there's a lot of border information sharing that's been quite effective. It was really effective during the prison break. Our Canadian counterparts at the Border Patrol were extremely helpful in making sure that if the escapees had attempted to cross, that information would be shared instantaneously. I'm heading up to Montreal next week to meet with some of my counterparts and some business leaders to continue to promote that trading relationship and the mutual economic relationship between Northern New York and Quebec especially. So I'm looking forward to that, and I look forward to reporting back.
We love it that Elise Stefanik has joined us today from the 21st District, a Republican in office since 2015. Good luck, Elise.
Thanks, Alan. Always great to talk to you.